The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Today we're going to look at several different verses, several different things. If you've noticed the last couple of Sundays, I've kind of related what we talked about previous Wednesday night in the I Am's. This past Wednesday night, we studied John chapter 11, where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So we're going to kind of relate that to what we're looking at today. So this may be a little uncomfortable, because a lot of times we don't like to admit to ourselves that we're not perfect. I mean, I hear all the time how perfect I am from my wife, but I'm not. I want to make sure y'all know that I'm not. No matter what she tells you, I'm not perfect. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." Iniquities are wrongdoings. Iniquities are sins. And because I sin, because you sin, there's a separation that is put between us and our God. Sin cannot come in the presence of God. Sin cannot be there in heaven when it is time to go to heaven. You can't take your sins with you. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That means each and every one of us. There's not a single perfect person in here. We have all fallen short. Sin is falling short of God's plan, God's desire. When you and I stumble and we fall short of what God wants us to do, that is sin. Now, we think all the time of sin, and you and I, we classify it. I mean, murder is sin, right? Anytime somebody hurts a woman or a child, we're easy and quick. Anytime somebody robs, somebody beats up somebody, hurts somebody, we're easy and quick to claim that as sin. But James 4:17 says, "Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him that is sin." Oh, it's easy to say somebody murdered, that's sin. Somebody hurt somebody else, that's sin. Somebody stole or robbed, that's sin. But God says, if you know what's right to do and you don't do it, then that's sin. So us falling short of doing what is right is sin for us. So from murder to just not stopping or not reaching out a helping hand to help somebody when somebody's in need, it's sin. And sin separates us from God. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So we sit here and we say, every one of us has sinned, and that separates us from God. And because we've sinned, we deserve death. Now, the death it's referring to is a spiritual death. It's not referring to a physical death, though if you sin, a physical death may be a consequence of what you do. I promise you, if somebody tries to hurt one of my family members and they sin in trying to hurt them, there's a consequence that's going to come, and that most likely, if I'm around, it's going to come from me. You know, I'm going to stop somebody who's trying to hurt my family, right? I'm going to stop somebody who's trying to hurt someone of my church family if I'm going to do everything I can. We have to be diligent as we live in a dark world. But there's consequences. But the sin that God's talking about here, the death that God's talking about that separates us, is that separation eternally. See, each and every one of us has eternal life. You are guaranteed eternal life as far as the scripture is concerned. The only difference in eternity is where you spend it. You will spend eternity in heaven, or you will spend eternity in hell. There is no other place. The Bible tells us that. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what causes us to spend eternity in hell. That's the death he's talking about. But let's look at Jesus in the New Testament, and let's see this definition and God's power. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Let's see what that means and look at some scripture in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus raised three different people from the dead. Three different individuals. In Mark chapter 5, we see that Jesus raises a little girl from the dead. The father comes and finds Jesus, and he says, my daughter is sick. If you would come, please, would you come and heal her? And they're on their way. And before they get to his house, one of the servants comes and finds him and says, don't bother the master, the teacher anymore. Your daughter has passed away. And Jesus continues on with the father to the home, and he makes everyone leave the house except him and three of his disciples and the mother and the father. And he goes over to the little girl who's laying on the bed, and she's dead. And he reaches out and he grabs her hand and he says, little girl, stand up. Wake up. And she comes back to life. There's another time in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is on his way to a town, and there's a funeral procession. They are carrying out a young man, carrying him to bury him. And Jesus walks over, and he tells the young man who's laying on that gurney that's being carried out, he says, arise. And the young man sits up and comes back to life. And then, of course, what we studied Wednesday night was Lazarus. And in the story that we read and studied Wednesday night, Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus is raised from the dead. And he comes forth. Now we see three different individuals. We see a young girl that dies just before Jesus gets there. Her body is still warm. And Jesus says, arise. We see a young man who's being carried to the grave. His body is cold. Probably rigor mortis has already started to set in on that body. And Jesus says, arise. And then you see Lazarus, who's been in the grave for 4 days. When Jesus says, roll away the stone, Lazarus' sister says, no, Lord, there'll be a stench. His body has already started to decay. His body has already started to rot. The smell of death would flow from that tomb. And Jesus says, roll away the stone, Lazarus, come forth. All situations, three different individuals, which one of them was more dead? They were all dead. They were just at different points of decay and rot. But they were all dead. You see, that's what sin does. It separates us from God, and we are dead to Christ in sin. It does not matter if it is one of our grandchildren who is at the age of knowing that she needs to accept Christ or not. One of our babies who hasn't accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but they're at the age that they can understand. They are dead in Christ. Or you could be the worst criminal on the face of the earth. They are dead in Christ. It does not matter the amount of decay. It does not matter what sin you qualify or I qualify as sin. Sin separates us from God. And we deserve death because of that. But there's hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. That's where Jesus comes in that story of Lazarus. And he says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He can raise us from the death that sin causes, the separation. He raises us and he gives us life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm a sinner, y'all. But because I confess Jesus as Lord and Savior and I've asked him to forgive me, then he forgives me of what I've done. And that doesn't mean that I'm not going to sin today or tomorrow because I'm only human. And sometimes I get mad. And in my anger, I will sin. Jesus is the only one who in his anger didn't sin. And he did get angry. He threw people out of the temple that weren't there to worship but there to make money. And it says in his anger he didn't sin. But I'll sin in my anger. I'll get mad. And words come into my brain. They may not come out of my mouth. But oh, you don't want to see what might be going through this old sorry brain of mine. Because I'm just human. I'm just like you. The only difference in me and you is that God's called me to preach his word from this pulpit. Other than that, we're the same. I've sinned, you've sinned. But God says if we confess and believe in him, that he'll cleanse us and forgive us our sins. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent therefore and turn back. That means repent and stop doing whatever you're doing that you know is wrong. Turn back means stop doing it, y'all. Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Isaiah 43:25, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember them no more. Not only does he blot them out, but he forgets them. Isaiah 1:18, God tells us that our sins are like scarlet, they're like blood. But they shall be white as snow. How in the world are my sins going to be white as snow? This is the easiest way I can explain it to you. When I come before God, when I come before the judgment seat, because Scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when I stand before God, he's going to look down and he's not going to see the sorriness of Wade. He's not going to see all the sins and all the wrongdoings because I've asked Jesus Christ to forgive me. He's going to look down and he's going to see Jesus who's wrapped himself around me and said, Father, this one's mine. He's not going to see my sorriness, but he's going to see the whiteness, the purity of Jesus. That's the only way I can explain it to you, y'all. Jesus covers us so that God doesn't see our imperfections. He sees the love and the purity of his Son. That's how we can understand. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not good enough, and there's nothing I can do to get into heaven except ask Jesus Christ. But listen, y'all. Dead is dead. I don't care if all you did was tell a lie. That's being dead. You could have been a mass murderer. That's still dead. Dead is dead. It's in the game we're playing. This isn't something that if you lose this one, you got another chance next weekend to play a different ball game. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about heaven or hell. We better make sure that we know where we're going when our time is up. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you today and we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for your word. Lord, your word is perfect and even sometimes hard to accept because we're talking about ourselves. We're talking about our children, our grandchildren. But Lord, thank you so much for being the resurrection, for being the life, for giving me an opportunity to accept you and to spend eternity with you in heaven. Lord, we thank you so much. If there's somebody here today that needs to make a decision, no matter what decision that might be, I pray that today would be the day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.